Okay. Well, yeah, thanks very much for the opportunity to talk to you tonight. It's been really great as a massive space fan myself. It's really great to see such a big audience. Yeah, I'm here to talk about a new facility that we're building in Western Australia called the West Australian Optical Ground Station. We're only a few days off realizing this, and I'll tell you a bit about this as we go through. Just to give you a bit of an outline of the talk, I'll introduce optical communications and some of the benefits to traditional radio communications for space. I'll describe some of the challenges of having laser links, so these optical communications through the atmosphere, and what our work here at the University of Western Australia has done to address those and how we're leading some of those developments around the world in that area. I'll go into deployment progress for this ground station and then finish up with some next steps and future aspirations. I guess I also just want to acknowledge the research support that we've received from these various project partners and funding agencies and space agencies. Of course, thanks also to my research team who have done a lot of the work that I'll be presenting tonight. Just a bit of an introduction then, I guess, to the group and the overall research area on space in the University of Western Australia. My group is about 10 people at the moment. We have five research staff and several PhD, master's, and undergraduate students all contributing to the work. Our group is a part of UWA's International Space Centre, which was formed about 6 months ago. You can see some of the key research activities that the University of Western Australia is doing. We've got our laser communication timing, which is one of the activities that I lead, but we also go right across the space spectrum from remote sensing, astronomy, in this case, astronomy from space, a dedicated space situational awareness, and then there's a number of others. There's always some very interesting stuff happening. Now talking more specifically about optical communications, you know, why are we interested in developing optical links to space over radio links? A large part of that reason is that if you can have let's say the technology that sits on the spacecraft is low power, size, and weight. That is really ideal for this next generation of these satellite constellations, like for instance, the Starlink satellites, or just more generally, the push to go into smaller and smaller satellites. So you don't have necessarily the, you know, the big space and capacity to have a big radio communications dish on your spacecraft constellation. The other big reason is that a laser beam, which is used for optical communications, is highly directional. While a radio wave from a, you know, reasonably sized dish on a satellite in orbit might make a footprint of communication signals on the Earth that might be hundreds of kilometers across to continental scale, a laser can focus its communication area to perhaps tens or hundreds of meters. So that means that multiple users in space and multiple users on the ground can communicate and use those signals independently of each other without fear of interfering or disturbing anyone else. And that's avoids one of the most costly components of space development, which is this spectrum crowding. So when a new satellite launches, there's this auction to give it a bandwidth over a particular geographical area in the radio domain. So with lasers, you can avoid that. So that's the general benefit. And some of the reasons we're particularly interested in this is that optical communications opens up these novel capabilities. So not only are they, you know, lower power and more directional, but we have the ability to make much higher data rates. So sending data from space to ground much more efficiently, so thousands of times more bandwidth than you can currently. And that's one of the things we're funded to explore with the SmartSat Cooperative Research Centre. Then another is quantum communication, and this is where you can have fully encrypted communications from space to ground and different parts, you know, from ground to space and then to somewhere else. And that's completely unhackable because it's secured by the fundamental properties of physics itself. And again, we're looking at that with a research group and as well as the Australian Army. And then sort of more on the science side, we can do sub-femtosecond timing. And this is for measuring the flow of time between ground and space extremely precisely. And this has implications for science applications, such as investigating, you know, things like, is Einstein's general relativity, you know, wrong? Where does it break down? Searching for dark matter and things like that. And we work with some French colleagues at the French Space Agency on that project. And then finally, sort of back more into sort of practical applications, we can do nanometer level positioning. So imagine like a next generation, GPS system, but instead of giving you locations to the meter, you know, we can really narrow that down to, you know, fractions of a meter. Not so important necessarily for a car driving on the road, but there are some reasons you might need to know your satellite positions very accurately. So look, that all sounds really great, but if optical communications, you know, is so wonderful, then why aren't we really doing that already? And you know, the big issue here is, you know, Earth's atmosphere is in the way. The atmosphere is doing all the time, so it's swirling around, it's moving, and just like we look at stars at nighttime and you see them twinkling, a laser beam sent through the atmosphere is also going to get bent and deflected out of the way. So really you have this issue of atmospheric turbulence, and I'm sort of trying to highlight here with these words on the screen, you know, they're ridiculously hard to read because all this turbulence is in the way. So what we really need is a system for eliminating the turbulence of the atmosphere, just making all this go away, and then we can really get to that benefit of laser communications that I talked about. And so just a couple of things I want to point out, that this atmospheric turbulence really does two things to the beam. So one is it kind of deflects the beam crosswise in the direction of motion. So it ends up making the beam point off target. So it changes its amplitude over time. I should say this sort of changes in the atmosphere happen hundreds of times per second. And that's the twinkling that you see as you go up and look at stars at night. But importantly, it also changes the time of flight in the direction and the line of sight of the laser beam. And that degrades this, the measured performance of the data, of the timing and of the positioning. We call this phase noise. So it adds phase noise to the signal. And if we wanted to, you know, really use optical communications to its full potential, we need to have different systems that suppress both of those effects. And at the University of Western Australia, we've built exactly such a system, and this is how it works. So on one side, we have a transmitter. We send that through the atmosphere into a receiver, and we, you know, pass it off to the user at the far end. In order to suppress the atmospheric turbulence, we can have a little mirror at one end, so say a mirror at the satellite, we reflect some of that light back and mix it, beat it against the signal from another mirror, and then detect that signal and electronically filter it and find, and by measuring those changes in hundreds of times per second, we can, just like noise-cancelling headphones, we can sense what the link is doing and apply a correction to the timing of the laser that goes out. So that by the time it gets back to the receiver, back to the satellite, the time of flight variations are completely cancelled out. But at the same time, I said the beam also deflects, you know, left and right and up and down. So in the same case, we have to build these optical terminals that can adjust, make fine adjustments to the pointing of the laser beam, again, hundreds of times per second. And the way we do that, you know, we send the beam out and the beam also comes back. And we tap off a little bit of that light here, and we have a position sensitive detector, so we can see if the beam's going up or down, left and right. And again, we filter that electronically and then feed that back to a mirror that can move hundreds of times per second to keep the beam pointing in the right spot. Of course, if we do that twice, then the beam will always be pointing in the right spot. And again, we've built these little terminals, these little telescopes that shoot the beam of light exactly where we want them to. So one of the fun things we did is we packed up those systems in boxes, and we sent that over to our colleagues in the French Space Agency, and we deployed those systems between two buildings to see how well it would work. Critically, we also had a sort of fiber link between those two buildings. So we sent one signal over the air and stabilized that. And we sent another on the fiber, which we knew we can do a really good job at. And then we can compare the two and see how well we're doing. But we had a really great time and the system worked really well. So that was great. And we could see that our system was working really well. But we wanted to really push that. And we then came back to Australia and we put it on a much longer link from the University of Western Australia to another building and back. And importantly, this horizontal link has the same amount of turbulence as a link going all the way to space. So even though it's only relatively short, a few kilometers, because the atmosphere thins really quickly, as you know, if you're shooting a rocket, you get to max Q pretty quick. The same is true for the laser beam. So as soon as you get within a few hundred meters above the surface of the Earth, the turbulence reduces very significantly. So this is the perfect test bed for testing our technology. The take-home message is that we're able to improve that system by another factor of 10, even though now the link's turbulence is much greater. And so the key outcomes are that we can, we've made the best ever transfer of frequency, like these sort of timing signals for fundamental physics measurements, better than anyone's been able to do before. So we currently hold the world record in that with this number. We're able to do this position, or it's really a Doppler measurement, so a velocity measurement of the far site to about 2 picometers per second. So that's about 7 orders of magnitude better than can currently be done in the microwave domain. Of course, this is just over a link, we want to actually demonstrate it to space, but in principle, the system works really well. And then at the same time, we then put a data signal across. And so we could show that we have these fiber-like data rates, so 200 gigabits per second per wavelength of light. So for comparison, at the moment, the first satellites that use optical communications are doing about 1 gigabit per second at most. And so with this system, if you encode multiple signals on that laser beam, we predict we'll be able to do something like 30 terabits per second. So again, orders of magnitude more than can currently be done. But that's all really great. And, I've wowed you with some fancy numbers. And it's one thing just to do that, in an experiment, in a lab over a horizontal link. But we want to take the next step and actually do demonstrations to space and prove these systems. And for that, we're developing this West Australian Optical Ground Station. So the heart of the ground station is this observatory grade 0.7 meter telescope. We set up our control room and we've developed custom software to make the telescope work exactly how we want it. So that's our plan, a short-term plan for the next two or three years. And then moving on, our sort of next steps and future aspirations are then to move towards space. And so in the medium term, we want to make the first ground to space demonstration of this satellite laser ranging system. So the Doppler measurements that give us this higher precision navigation than that's ever been possible before. So we can do that by just reflecting off existing retroreflectors in orbit. We'll continue our development of our high-speed optical communications technology, and we'll work with our industry partners, particularly Thales Alenia Space, to put that product on their roadmap and develop into a commercial communications terminal that can be sold on their spacecraft. And then very excitingly, from my point of view, we've just been funded from the Australian Space Agency to investigate the feasibility of providing optical communications support for NASA's upcoming Artemis mission to land the first woman and the next man on the moon in 2024 or beyond. So we'll be looking to support them with this ground station. And more in the long term, we want to provide this key timing link technology for these really exciting fundamental physics questions where you have to have these state-of-the-art optical atomic clocks in space and then measure any defects in general relativity and so on. But that's more of a 10-year project. So that's our next steps and future aspirations. So thanks very much for your attention.